You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don, I'm just repeating why we're on our own here. As I say, I'm not sure if it's people getting a bit jittery, but Phoebe, she's not in, but she's going to be at Jeff's shed. Jeff's
The reason people not are Jeff's coming shed, in,
Jeff's
people like
man
to get
cave.
On, yeah, but hang on. People like to get on something like a wave when it's at the top. Maybe we're going down. Maybe
speak
we're
speaking.
I've tried under my bloody
now.
Thumb.
You weren't. Look. Come round here and
no,
have a
I'm
look.
No, if I go around there and look, it's not going to show me talking.
Well, I'll speak while you come round here.
No.
The bar went completely flat because you had the microphone a foot past your ear. Your ear.
Jeez, I wish
God almighty, man. You should take a lesson from Phoebe. She puts it in her mouth.
What?
She puts the microphone... She actually has the thing almost in the back of her jowls, and I have to turn her volume down. If you've just tuned in, we're talking about Phoebe's microphone technique, right? And her decibel levels go bang when she speaks because she's trained to speak about radio stuff, and that's why she's on AW and... That's right. Anyhow, Don, for God's sake, man. I'm telling you why she's not here. She's busy. Dr. Ben, not sure. He says he didn't jig it into his diary.
Dropping off. I think this podcast is losing its oomph.
No, the podcast.
There it is.
Maybe they're getting a bit wary. I don't know.
No, they're not getting wary. They were on
podcast
a winner.
Podcast going gangbusters. What? And also, and we were going to speak to, Don, a very interesting man who called
us. Hang on, we don't mention him again. We did it in the first episode.
Well, I've just said
the Indian professor.
Yeah, the Indian, while we're on our own. And
can I give some shout-outs?
Shout-outs. But
my
we didn't finish on Kate Save. We did mention her, and then you interrupted
me. I'm talking to Kate Save a bit later today.
Well, Kate Save, this is the Be Fit Food, and we only just mention it because we take it and eat it, and we put our
I've lost. Do you know how much I've lost? 6 kilos.
Right.
I've 92 down to 86.
Yeah, that's thin. You can smell the piss through your don.
No, it's good to ride the horses. The horses don't have to put up with the 92 kilos.
Well, there you are. So... And she's...
And I feel better. I feel like running. I'm working much
that's
better.
That's Kate Save's Be Fit Food.
Has she got any deals going?
Well said, Don.
No, she's got them all the time. I'm getting emails.
I'm about to read them out, you clown. Oh. Why do you think I'm mentioning it? She's celebrating the first week of winter, Don.
Today, is it? Winter today.
It's the 31st today, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know what date
no.
it is.
Just one day.
You know that bloke Nick, whatever his
Nick Byrne,
who said that I use long words.
You know Nick Byrne blackballed you at Commonwealth.
A big pardon?
You know how you applied for Commonwealth Golf Club?
Yeah.
I think it was Nick Byrne blackballed.
No,
he did.
No,
I think he did.
Do you know
he was on the board?
Do you know who put me up
at Royal Melbourne?
Commonwealth? I've never.
No, is it Royal Melbourne?
No.
Didn't you ever go at Royal Melbourne?
No.
They blackballed
no,
you?
No. Do you know who put me up to be a member at Metropolitan?
No.
Jeff Slattery.
Bullshit.
He did.
He wouldn't be long to the Royal. He wouldn't be long there. Commonwealth, Slats.
Yeah, the feckless weasel.
No, he'd be out at Amstel or somewhere like that, Slats.
No, anyhow, so Don, please don't interrupt me all the time. What was I saying then? Be Fit Food, Kate. She has got to sell it. The first week of winter's tomorrow, Don, the 1st of June, isn't it? Tomorrow?
I don't know. One day floats into another after
all. You mentioned just before off air someone who was a restaurateur. I won't say his name. Well, I can say his name. Chris Lucas. He's a restaurateur. The word is restrotter. There's no N in restaurateur.
What? Restrotter?
It's restrotter.
T-R-O-T-T-E-R.
Just take the N out of it. It's not a restaurateur, it's a restrotter. And you talk about me using long words. I just use
Nick
them.
Nick Byrne does, not me.
I just use them correctly. Don, restaurateur, it's not a restaurateur. And Kate Save, this, I'm going to finish this, she for the celebrating the first week of winter, she's got 10% off her pack of protein soups. Protein soups.
Actually, somebody told me she hasn't got any soup, so I'm glad she's... No, Siri, they... that's my call to her later on today. It's winter coming on. Where are the soups?
Well, because that's probably been sold out. Probably now, sold
isn't
out.
Isn't that funny? This person rang... And that's part of my call to her this afternoon.
And she's just currently... I got a thing...
She's just come back from overseas. I hope she realises what her stock levels are.
I just... And I got a thing from her saying that she's in...
What, South Africa?
Fucking in South Africa.
I think she's
on a
speed.
She's got her product into another store down on where you live.
On the peninsula?
Where was that?
That's the peninsula. She's in Chemist Warehouse, isn't she?
I had a list here of where she was. I got it notified that she's in somewhere else. Anyhow, she's got
good.
10% off her protein soups. Plus, Don, what's the extra 5% for?
Being a good boy.
If you mention the code word...
Oh, not that smart as... What is
SAS.
It? Smart ass Sam.
SAS.
SAS.
If you put SAS on your order, not only will you get 10% off, you'll get an extra 5%
really?
For the protein. 10 packs of their protein soup. That's Kate Save. Mm. And she's not a restaurateur, she's a restrotter.
She's a smart young lady, that.
Now,
smart young lady.
Now, you wanted...
Oh, can we give a shout-out? Here we go. This is from Longie. Longie is in the CMF... How do they... CFFMEU or something.
Oh, that's like it'll be...
Come on.
CFMEU.
Yes, that's
Longie. How hard is it to remember that?
Longie. I saw him at coffee today... And he gave us a shirt, so there's a shirt there for you, extra long.
So
it's from the Concrete Gang. Now, the Concrete Gang is a radio show on Triple R or 3CR.
Headley Gritter is on Triple R, isn't he? Headley
Gritter. But the Concrete Gang are on at 9:30 of a Sunday morning. They've been going for 40-odd years,
Would
the Concrete Gang.
Would you be able
gang.
To say what they are a member of? What do
well,
they belong
the
to?
Union.
The what? What is it called? The
CMFEU or
Don,
whatever it's
the
called.
The CFMEU.
Oh, well, whatever.
Surely you know what the CFMEU...
Why would
you
they have such
stands?
A long name?
Do you know what it stands for?
Yes, it's something, the Forestry Union.
Tell me what you think.
Electrical.
Tell me what you think.
Marine, forestry. It's a mishmash and they represent
the
workers.
CFMEU mean?
Okay, something
think?
To do with forestry,
what
marine.
What C stand for? Come on, but I know what it
is. Okay, you give me the C.
I could call you a C.
Okay, give me the
construction.
C.
Construction.
Construction, CF.
F.
Forestry.
Yep.
Yes.
M.
Marine.
I think there's another one.
Electrical Union.
No, hang on. Marine or maritime, I think
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, okay.
And it should be CFMMEU because it's
what?
Marine and mining.
Mining's in there.
Mining. And E, what do you think E is?
Electrical.
Well, I don't... I you would
Or
think
hang
it,
on, no,
you would think it should be. I thought it was education, but I think it's
no.
energy.
What,
I think
no?
I think it's energy. I used to think it was education, and electrical would sound...
Well, okay, well, Longie, with your Concrete
then,
Gang, go to you see your mate. What's his name? Come on, in
my
charge.
My mate.
Oh, come on. His mate, John Secker.
Yes.
And get the name changed instead of having that bloody big long
CFMEU.
Name.
CFMEU?
Yes.
Well, but that's all right.
But it's a bit inconsistent, isn't it?
I don't think anyone who works for the CFMEU knows what it means. No one knows what CFMEU means. Just like no one knows what the real meaning of Qantas is. What do you think the real acronym of Qantas means?
Queensland
and
Northern Territory Air Services?
Very close, Don, but it's a common mistake.
What?
Aerial Services.
Aerial?
Aerial. Yes, aerial.
Started in Longreach, wasn't it? Longreach?
What is it, when Qantas started?
Yeah. That was their base, wasn't it? Longreach?
Well, I know they named their planes Longreach planes.
Well, I think there's a museum at Longreach, and Qantas have got old aircraft out there.
Yes, they would have. Don, if it was a museum, they'd be old aircraft.
I think it's Longreach.
Mm, good. Well, there you are. So it's aerial service. So you've given a shout out to the CFMEU.
Yeah, to Longy. And also.
Yeah. Go on. Now, Don, it's over to you. You're going to do this segment because it's over to you.
Well, shout outs. Now, Tani. Now, Tani, we went to the boxing. Listen, the boxing was a terrific show last Wednesday night. I congratulate the promoters.
Who are Indigenous.
And I thought they did a terrific job.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. The last time I went to the boxing and it put me off was back in the 70s at TV Ringside Festival Hall.
Was Auntie Joy there?
What, at Ringside TV?
Was Auntie Joy at the boxing?
No.
Did they do
what? Oh, yeah. Hang on. Auntie Joy was.
Oh, we're in the ring.
Yeah.
Doing Welcome to Country. Holy shit. Was she?
Yeah. I'm serious.
I was just making that up.
Okay.
So, anyway, Auntie Joy was at the boxing.
Anyway, it's got nothing to do.
It was a very good show.
The other thing that came up for me, shut up.
I was joking.
We have a lot of boxing at the moment, but I don't see any Indigenous boxers. Now, back in the 50s,
yes,
and they were the
George
best.
George Bracken.
Well done.
Lionel Rose.
Dave Sands. Go back. Oh, they were
brilliant.
Terrific boxers.
Why do you think there aren't?
Yeah. I don't know. That's an interesting one, isn't it? It's a very interesting one. Now, Tani was sitting next to me at the boxing.
Who?
Tani. He was sitting next to me.
Who's Tani?
He's a guy that just happened to be sitting and he was terrific.
Is this
he
a
must
shout
have been
out?
A sponsor. Yes, this is a shout out to Tani. And also the pharmacist. I went and got a script filled at Terry White and they listened to the program too. And White Pharmacy in Hastings, pharmacist, it's a good business because they've got a number of pharmacists behind the counter, men, well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, they're pharmacists. And
so they're in competition to Chemist Warehouse.
Beg your pardon?
They're in competition to Chemist Warehouse. Terry White.
Are they?
I presume if they're pharmacists.
And we've given Longy a shout out, haven't we, from the Concrete Gang?
Yeah, the CMEM.
Now listen, our hats.
MIUDLBGQ+.
Our hats.
Two Spirit. What?
Our hats. Yep. I was sent a photo from Judean. No, not Judean. Judean Desert.
Judean. Is that the Judean Christian people in Israel?
Well, I think, somewhere over there.
The Judean Desert.
It was Judah. Wasn't there a town or country called Judah in the Old Testament?
Don,
anyway, these guys were in the desert, and would you believe they had our hats on? There were three of them, and they had our hats.
Are they Jewish?
I don't know.
Don, I'm going to give you a chance to tidy this up. I'm handing this segment over to you. So far, it's been like a dog's breakfast. You can't pronounce any names.
Well,
you
I'm
didn't
struggling.
Know what the CFMEU was. You couldn't even say the words in the letters in the correct order. You don't know what the Judean Desert is, whatever it is.
You wouldn't know where the Judean Desert is.
I don't because you can't pronounce it properly.
Well,
if you
I
can pronounce
Judean,
it properly,
so
I could have a stab at it.
Well, I'm just saying there was a place called Judah, I think, in the Old Testament.
Judah?
Yes, I think in the Old Testament. I remember from Sunday school.
Right.
And I think it must be somewhere around there. And if it's around there, it's around the Middle East, isn't it?
It will be certainly be the
Anyway, these three guys are there with our hats on. These little peak hats. You can't be serious across the front. I'm wearing the one with the Chinese writing. I reckon that's a ripper.
Right, here, I'm going to read this out.
Go.
The Judean Desert is a desert in the West Bank of Israel and lies east of Jerusalem and descends to the Dead Sea. I know a bloke who's that old, he knew the Dead Sea only when it was sick. Under the name El Baraya, it has been nominated to the tentative list of World Heritage Sites. So there you are, Don. The Judean Desert. And they were wearing our hats, were they?
Yep. Now, listen, we've just touched on, and I'd like to bring up a couple of things. We've just touched on, because it's Wednesday morning and it was released last night, about the AFL, and you mentioned earlier about Gil McLachlan. I haven't heard from the people claiming racism. And I raised the question.
This is the players concerned.
The players concerned.
Yes.
I raised the question. If they haven't been heard of, have they been paid off, or is there a promise to pay?
Is this a rhetorical question?
Yes, I'm opening for discussion.
Well, how in the hell would I know?
Exactly. But they've been quiet, haven't they? All I've heard is they may go to the Human Rights Commission with their case.
All I know is that they said Fagan and Clarkson had no case to answer.
And Burt?
Well, that's what, as I understand, that's what it said. So let's hope they'll spring into action and get their just desserts by getting recompensed for having their name tarnished and dragged asunder. And the AFL, who's sat in its hands and accuses everyone else of doing things, do it exactly themselves.
Now, Sunday morning, you usually go out for lunch with your breakfast with your mates. Did you happen to read Phoebe's little article in the Sunday Press on Sunday, on the Sunday Herald Sun? She had an article she lifted from Luke Darcy's broadcast on Friday night, where he criticised Daniel Andrews and the state that Victoria is in as far as debt is concerned.
Yep.
And I just wonder, Luke was, I thought, well, it certainly stood up, because Fiona, or the Herald Sun, picked it up and wrote it again. So it obviously made an impact on Friday night in on his footy on the radio. Mm-hmm. I just wonder whether Luke will receive whether there would be any repercussions for him being so outspoken. Because if you go back.
Repercussions for him telling the truth.
Well, Paul DiMartino, remember Paul DiMartino, who had the hotel in South Melbourne,
yes,
or down at
hotel.
Yes, okay. He was outspoken during COVID.
Yes,
and there were repercussions. The people in authority were sent around. Chris Lucas, do you remember Chris Lucas?
Was the restaurateur.
Trotter.
Restaurateur, not the restaurateur. The restaurateur. Yes, go ahead.
Well,
Nick Byrne.
And he also received a visit. And sitting opposite me, you opened your mouth, which you normally do. The next day, you had the police confront you down in the foyer of your unit in Docklands here.
I just wonder
whether Luke's going to get a visit from somebody or some authority.
Oh, well.
Okay, I just put it out there.
I was sitting up in my apartment and the bell rang. And, you know, you answered and said, Victorian Police here, Sam. Is that you? Oh, Sam.
They called you Sam or John?
I think they call me Sam.
Okay.
Just to make sure they had the right place.
Right.
Is this Sam Newman? Yes. Could you come down to the foyer? I said, would you like to come up? No, come down. So down I go. And they're in. I've got a photo. I've got a picture of it. I videoed it.
And you videoed them?
They were quite happy to be videoed. Because they're, you know what, they've got nothing to hide. And they're very nice people. And I said, no, look, we've just got to ask you, are you thinking of organising a march up Collins Street to Parliament House regarding the COVID lockdowns? I said, oh, no. I said, if ever you were going to march, 250,000 people could actually walk up and protest if ever you were going to. But if I was organising a march, I would have said the route, the time, the place, the date, how to do it and where to do it and where to meet. But I didn't do any of that. I just said, hypothetically, if ever you were going to march against a government decision, this would be it. Very well, they said, thank you. They had the gun there in their, because they carry firearms.
Well, you're dangerous anyway.
Yeah, and
did they have a vest on? Did the bullet through the vest?
Yeah, and I saw the taser there. Not for me, but they carry tasers.
Well, they didn't know what you'd be carrying.
That's right. I was in my underwear as I came down because
well,
I was
upstairs. Well, that's carrying a lot. Or did you used to carry a lot.
That would have scared the shit out of them. Are you concealing a weapon in those underpants?
Well, it was a weapon. It was a weapon.
Oh, yeah. I said, you ought to be careful. If it goes off, it'll splatter you. So they said, all right. Well, they noted it down in a book. And they said, thank you very much. I think they said, thank you, officer. I said, you couldn't fix up a couple of parking tickets while you're here for me. And they said, don't be so flippant. And I said, no, let's not have any humour. Let's not have any humour at this stage. Right you up. I said, thank you. And off they went. Now, very nice people. So it sounds like I'm very nice. Now, I think they were sold onto me by Dan.
Well, I didn't say. I just leave it to the people out there and they can work it out for themselves.
It was probably after we had our 900th death.
And also, it was very interesting, a friend of mine had a run-in with him when he was health minister, the minister for health.
When he put the kibosh on iCook Foods?
No, it was that. But my friend had a run-in with him when he was health minister and he sent a letter the next day to the people in charge asking for his resignation, my friend's resignation. This was Daniel.
Yeah. Well, he's overseen the demise of iCook Foods.
Mm. Now, I mentioned about Terry White giving a shout-out. I went down after some migraine tablets. Now, can you believe this? For the next month, we sufferers of migraines have got to put up with it because there is a tablet which I take.
And you get migraines?
Yeah, every week. Once a week
what I get from, it. Don, do you think?
It's stress? Called relax. Stress. I create stress and then I turn off. Towards the end of the week and on comes a migraine.
This is a legitimate question. I haven't asked it yet. This is a legitimate question. I'm not taking the piss. Mm. What do you suffer stress from?
You've got to get yourself up because I operate a small business. I come onto this thing and you got to get your topics and I've got to put up with you and try and compete with you. So it's stressful. And
do you find this stressful?
My word. Trying to compete with you.
I'll have to look at putting you on sick leave or something or getting.
Anyway, I use a tablet called Maxalt.
Superannuation.
Maxalt.
Maxalt. Is that a name of a man?
It is the name of the tablet I take, which is fantastic. Maxalt. And do you know that this is not available for 4 weeks? So, or you cannot buy it anywhere. From any pharmacy, for some reason they're out. So we migraine sufferers...
A lot of people must be getting migraines.
Well, I don't know, but we're going to suffer worse because they usually kill... In my case, they kill the migraine in half an hour. So if I can hang on for half an hour, it'll be dead.
So is that the only thing that gives you stress, yes, coming in here every
day? No, it's a number of things.
Well, what are the other things?
I told you, work.
Work?
Away from here, I do work. I work.
Manual,
I try and run a small business.
And you're finding that difficult?
Yes.
Well, why don't you get someone to give you a business plan? You know, MYOB, mind your own business plan.
I'm just saying about we migraine sufferers are going to suffer for another 4 weeks if you're on Maxalt.
Right.
And what about the... Did you... Have a look at the news last week about the sporting bodies getting involved in The Voice.
Yes.
You did. You saw them. All the different sporting bodies.
Do you know who got the shits?
Who?
Larry Perkins. Because the supercars, the V8s, they've now endorsed The Voice. And Larry Perkins said, can you believe it? Keep out of it. Just
were you speaking to Larry?
Was in the paper.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So the V8s are going to endorse The Voice now.
I presume that's what Larry...
Why are people doing this? I don't know anything about it, mate.
They're feigning virtuosity. They're thinking it cleanses their soul. They think, oh, no, we'll tumble into all this because we'll feel good about ourselves.
Wouldn't you want to know...
Rather than being hypocrites.
Wouldn't you want to know about it? You know, what are the...
No, they're just appeasing their own...
I look at Warren Mundine. He was on the ABC the other day. Trying to give a different point of view. I don't understand.
They're trying to placate their own inadequacies about what they think life is about, Don. And it's like Basil Sellers. It's like bloody Gil McLaughlin. It's like everyone. Ah, gee whiz. As I say, we're the most honest. We're the most honest forum here. We say we're all Australians and stop all the bullshit. It's nonsense.
I reckon I was watching the races. I watched watch the races on Channel 78, and they broadcast, you know, certain race meetings. It's fascinating and hypocritical because they have betting ads on 78, and they put a warning underneath about, you know, betting.
Mm.
Okay, that's terrific. It's a bit of a contradiction to the ad, but anyway, it's there. It's a warning. But I sit and wonder about the state government. You know, if they're really concerned about gambling, why would they put, and it's only just stopped because winter's coming on, but right up through autumn, they were running two race meetings at night. They can't, to extract money out of us, it's done in a subtle way. Like the racing industry is the only industry that kept going through COVID because it turns over money. Pakenham have a race meeting on Thursday night, I think it was last week, and they have a race meeting at Cranbourne on the Friday night. The government... That's the only
reason. You reckon they're hypocritical?
Well, that's the only reason is to try and get money out of the punters
you
or out of the.
Be careful, don't you? You'll be earmarked by.
But there's a contradiction there, isn't there?
Oh, really? Really, Don? Yeah, it's going well. Now these are good stuff. This is good stuff. Better than my stuff on. Yeah, so go on. So
did you watch the footy on the weekend?
No. We got Max Holt. Max Holt's in
shorts. Hang on. What about the football?
Yeah, no, I didn't
watch. Why don't you watch a little bit off?
No, I'll tell you a good reason. As soon as I turn on the football and out comes Auntie Joy.
No, come on.
No, I'm not.
Just drop all that shit. We're talking about football.
It's bullshit. I'm not going to watch it, mate. It's been overrun by woke nonsense.
I turn it off. I turn it off and I started to watch Gold Coast and Footscray. They played in Darwin.
Yep.
First bounce.
Who won?
Tim. I turned it off. You know.
Well, who did?
I've said this, and I'm repeating myself. There's a man that plays for Footscray called Tim English. Who is in Mount Mountain, and he's very good around the ground, certainly developed his game. Why this man takes his eye off the ball at the centre bounce. He has been doing it for years now.
What do you
Why the coaches don't pull this up? Now, had I have done it when I played, taken my off the ball,
yes.
The coach would have dragged me. If I continued to do it, I would not have got a game.
No.
And also, the umpires would penalise you. They were aware of what was going on. If you took your eye off the ball at a sitter bounce, you were going for the man.
The only reason you took your eye off the ball, Don, was to polex the person you were playing against.
And
which happened to be me invariably.
No.
And you'd run, make a beeline from a groin.
You were playing at centre
forward. Oh, bullshit, I was. You'd make a beeline from a groin or my heart. I know, you'll say that was hard to find, but you'd make a beeline from my groin or my stomach and you'd try and cripple me so that...
But that'd be only in retaliation for you walking up and whacking me from behind. You were very, very good at setting me up in front and then whacking from behind.
Well,
From Polly Farmer? Did he teach you how to do that?
That would teach you to get in front.
I know, it taught me to get in front. Oh, you were a ripper at it.
So then the next boundary throw we went to start 40 metres back from the boundary throw and stagger toward it, hoping you'd...
I had to brace myself because I knew I was going to get this hit out, and I was also going to get one behind the ear from yours truly.
Now, go on. So
but anyway, why is this boy, Tim English, still starting in the ruck, taking his eye off the ball? Why isn't he penalised? Why don't the coaches do something? There's a real lack of knowledge out there in the football world.
So
in the coaching ranks. And I think that's a real fault, taking your eye. And why is it? Why don't they do something about it? And the other thing, that centre circle, they've made it so the guys can't run.
Yep.
And it is encouraging a horrible aspect of the game, which is two ruckmen not jumping for the ball. Now, there used to be a craft in ruck play.
Technique
and all that. And that circle should be bigger. So fellows that have got a leap... There's one fellow at the moment, and I've sung out his name before. His name's Ryan Sampson. That's his name. Plays at Richmond.
Yep.
And he is a real jumper. and
jumper.
He's a jumper, mm-hmm. like Nick Natanui. Not too many jumpers around.
Is Nick Natanui still playing?
Yeah, that's a good one. I asked about that the other day. I haven't seen him for a long time. He must be injured.
Nick Nat?
Yeah, he must be injured. Mason Cox had a leak when he started, but he's starting to kind of do the other thing, you know, the Collingwood guy. The
I know, fella. Mason, yeah.
And anyway, he had a big leap because I think he was a volleyballer, basketballer before. But they should enlarge that circle
should
to allow jumpers to jump because you can't do it in the steps that's there.
So if you're going to enlarge the circle, why have it at all?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you were to penalise for the these fellows jumping early and jumping into the opposition, you'd clean up everything with regard to ruck play. They wrestle at boundary throw-ins. It's an absolute. So that's why I turned the game off
up in Sydney, in the Gold Coast. So who did win out of Footscray and Gold Coast? Where did they play? Gold Coast.
Gold Coast and I don't know.
Okay, well.
Because I turned it off.
Okay, I know that, but it's probably in the paper, was it? Who won? Anyhow, what else, Don? So that's if you got a migraine, you Max Salt's in short supply.
Is it ever you don't watch? You're out having your breakfast with Kevin and your mates on a Sunday morning. But why hasn't Channel 7 got a football show? They'd broadcast all the football, televise every football game. Channel 9, the opposition, run a football show without any vision or with very little vision. Channel 7 got all the vision. They could do a ripper review show of a Sunday morning.
Fox run one.
Do they?
But they put on that...
but that's not free to air,
but
Fox.
They put on that we pay our respects to the elders past and present before their football show. That immediately makes you turn it off. It just says no need to do it. No need. It sounds like we're against. We're not against. In fact, we are more for... Indigenous Australia combining with other Australians to be Australia than actually segregating everyone at every opportunity to match and bait people against one another. We just want to be all one people. And the more they keep doing it, the more they're showing how stupid they are. That's why I wouldn't watch, just wouldn't watch it. Wouldn't go to the football because of it.
Mm.
It's nonsense. And they think they're being virtuous. They think this feigned indignation of thinking they're being pompously arrogant and as if we can't see through it. It's so annoying. And you would be amazed at how many people agree with that point of view.
Mm.
Any more topics, Don? Well, you've done well. We've got into half
well, you're
an hour
not interested,
of you speaking
but the,
shit.
I'm interested in the football club that I played for, and that's called Hawthorn.
The one you saved.
In the last couple of years, gone. The last couple of years at Hawthorn, it hasn't been administered terribly well when you look at the bottom line. Alistair Clarkson, they came to an agreement when he left, but Hawthorn paid out about $900,000 to him.
You're not talking about your friend Andy Gowers, who's the president?
No, hang on, no. Gowers wasn't around when Clarkson... finished at Hawthorn. Now, I'm talking about Andy Gowers here because Justin Reeves, the CEO, has just left.
What reason?
I think he was sacked. He said he resigned, but there'd be a payout figure there. Now, I said, 900, just total this up, $900,000 for Clarkson. Another payment for Reeves, I say he'd be on at least, like all CEOs, about $800,000. They'd probably pay him half, a bit more. So you put that 900 onto about 5 or 6, so you're up to about 1.5. And this is something a lot of people don't realise. Hawthorn are also paying for Mitchell, playing for Collingwood. He was a former Hawthorn player. And also Amira, who is playing for Fremantle.
Yes.
And I reckon both of those guys, Hawthorn, would be paying about $500,000 each as part of their salary. So we're up to $2.5 million. This is going off your bottom line. $2.5 million in payments that could be avoided. Now we hear that on Wednesday morning that there's a lawsuit or there are going to be repercussions for Hawthorn over this racism issue, whether it's points, draft picks or money.
Mm.
Take into account the solicitor's fees that Hawthorn incurred over the racism issue, which they initiated. Hawthorn have wasted, I would say, in the vicinity of $3 to $3.5 million in the past two years.
For the sake of this podcast, on you are saying, you are suggesting that this could be the case. You're not saying any of this is factual. It's just
I'm just putting a figure out that people haven't thought
it's
of.
It's just what you assume. Yes. But you're not accusing anyone of anything.
No, but you put one and two together. Good. And I wonder how they're going to replace, and what are they going to do for sponsorship? Tasmania is their main sponsor, and they're going to start up their own team.
Aren't they still? Are they sponsored by Wines?
That was back in my day. Windvale Wines.
Are they still sponsoring?
No, Tasmanian government sponsor them.
The Tasmanian government sponsor Hawthorn.
Hawthorn.
That'll be a thumb in the nose to the people who don't support Hawthorn who live in Tasmania and their taxes are going to support Hawthorn.
Well, they've got members
Hawthorn.
Down there, Hawthorn, played a number of games down there, but that sponsorship is going to go, I don't know if it's in 12 months' time.
How's the blackmail going of the Australian government giving them $250 million to build a stadium if the AFL go with the voice? How's that going?
I know. But getting back to my topic, they talk about good governance or whatever else, but Hawthorn really is suffering, but nobody has come out with that at all. So there's a repercussion from what they're doing, and just go a little deeper because I think, wait and read this space, because I think there's more on the Justin Reeves thing, and I also think there's going to be more on the repercussions from this racism issue. I reckon that Ian Silk should resign off the board at Hawthorn because he was in charge of that People and Culture Committee that put that together.
I am told there's rumblings going on at Carlton about their top office and board about how absolutely hopeless the Carlton Football Club is being run. I'm told that.
Yeah, but it's only they're going by their football team. They mightn't have the cattle.
Yes, that's that.
You know, I'm not close to Carlton. I'm not close to Carlton. I don't know what talent they've
I'm
got.
I'm not close to any of them. But you're having a go at Hawthorn. They're not going well on the field. Have they got
Hang on. I'm not criticising them on the field at all. In fact, I agree with what they're doing. I don't agree with breaking the contract with O'Meara and the other Mitchell if they've got a contract in place.
You're agreeing with them losing.
No, they're blooding and giving the opportunity to young players. That's the only way.
What? How many years are we into of a 2-year plan?
No,
about six.
I reckon it'll be 6 years, and they've got to be very
6 years.
Yeah, that's right. Before they're a force again. Before they're a force again.
Who will put up with 6 years?
Well, you've got to. If you continue going to the draft, and also you've got to be very, very lucky at the draft. And Hawthorn were very, very lucky at the draft last time because prior to Clarkson coming, in one draft they had Luke Hodge and Sam Mitchell. The next draft they had Roughhead, Franklin, Jordan Lewis in the top seven. So there's five players who became the backbone of Hawthorn. Then you introduce one or two others and it all came down to two drafts and that started Hawthorn. But it was a 5-year before they received any benefit from those particular drafts. So Hawthorn have just got to wait, and if you're a Hawthorn supporter, there's going to be a lot of pain in the meantime.
Can I give you another example of how if you sell your soul on and you become embroiled in nonsensical issues, the Collingwood Football Club have cancelled the Magpies from being in the Super Netball competition because of lack of funds. And do you know why the lack of funds has swept over the netball side? Because they thumbed their nose at Gina Reinhart's.
No, hang on. Gina Reinhart wasn't around when Collingwood started their netball team. And I've got a theory on all. Football clubs are very devious. And Collingwood would have started their netball team because they would have got funds from the government for being inclusive and including women. Now they might replace that netball team with their women's team so they get money. It's like Richmond having a centre down there for Indigenous people. Apparently they get millions of dollars for running that. Now does that go to the school or to the club?
So you're saying that the Collingwood Football Club have redirected the money for the women's football side rather than the netball people.
Well, yes.
Wouldn't
I'm
the
just
15
saying
million
that this,
they turned
the netball
back on?
Team was going a long time before the football team was going.
Wouldn't the 15 million the organisation, the netball organisation, turned their back on from Gina Reinhart? Wouldn't that?
Yeah,
have
but they're
helped?
Getting at that. This Victorian. Didn't you realise that the Victorian
yes,
government
we're
picked up the deb?
Yes, so, we are the sponsors.
But that's got nothing to do with Collingwood. The money is coming out of the Collingwood Football Club for their netball team.
Oh,
and so. But it was advantageous for Collingwood when they set it up. They would have got government grants and whatever else. Football clubs are a mercenary and they're very unscrupulous in the what they do and how they go about getting grants out of governments.
Did you see that Dizzy Broad, Jane Fonda, did you see what she said?
She's an activist, a political activist.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's
she,
good.
Hang on. She
appeared in a film, and oh, gee, it was a good
Clute.
Film. Clute. And wasn't that haircut, wasn't that a fantastic haircut?
Haircut.
She had the Clute haircut.
On her head?
Yes. Did you remember the haircut in Clute?
Yes.
A friend of ours had the same haircut. Now, from I'm going back a long way. Perry Cutton. Remember we used to lunch with Perry?
What the hell are you talking about, Don?
Well, Perry had the Clute haircut.
Who was
haircut.
She married to, Jane Fonda?
No, tell me.
Ted Turner.
Oh, the
who
CNN.
Who started CNN.
CNN man.
And so Silly Jane said this. How obvious is this? She said global warming or carbon emissions are the sole province or responsibility of white men. Well, what a ridiculous thing. Of course it is, because white men designed industry, started industry, ran industry. Of course it is. Of course they were. They're the people who pioneered industry and designed it and controlled it and initiated it. So what is the point of making inane, vacuous statements? Vacuous, Don. Vacuous. Mick Byrne.
Nick Byrne?
Yeah, vacuous.
Nick, I'm shouting out. It's a shout-out. Nick, I need help.
No, yeah, you don't. Don, you need to have a
vacuous.
Basic knowledge. Vacuous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't look at your dictionary.
No, I'm going to tell. I reckon there's a picture of you beside vacuous. I'm just going to read out what it means, and I reckon there could be a picture of you beside it. I might not be. I might. That might be flippant to say that, Don. Vacuous. Here we go. Vacuous. Go on. With topics have been good, Don. I reckon. Fucking shit. Where's the fucking thing? Vacuous. Here we are. V-A-C-U-O-U-S. I think that's how you spell vacuous. Mightn't be. It'll correct the spelling. Vacuous. Did you mean vacuous? It means, here we go. Well, there is a small picture of you beside it.
Oh.
It says, without content, empty, lacking in ideas or intelligence. I can detect just a small, a small caricature of you beside that word there in the dictionary, Mick Byrne. Vacuous. You can't even spell it, can you?
No.
You look it
I'm
up.
I'm struggling.
Oh shit! V-A-C-U-O-U-S. Vacuous. That's Jane Fonda. She's vacuous. Righto, so, well, look, we've managed to stretch this out. Now, we don't have the interview. Would you like me to interview you? We'll come back and I'll interview you. We do that? Right, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to interview you there. We had tremendous reaction to the Rex Hunt interview, and I'm sure yours will be different, although I'm not sure it'll be a lot
what
different.
What about a marriage celebrant?
Shelley.
Could we interview a marriage celebrant? Because a
yes,
lot of
Shelley
people
upstairs.
Are using marriage celebrants
we,
instead of ministers of religion.
We did interview one. We had a fantastic
Who?
Interview with
oh, Greg
Evans.
Evans.
He was fantastic.
But we didn't talk about marriage celibacy. Oh, I was going to be say
celibacy.
Yeah, but
whether
not the
they don't consummate the marriage.
No, I understand all that. Yes, I realised when I said it. Maybe we could talk to a marriage celebrant.
Okay. Now, so just pretend we do. Mm. So give us your first question to a celebrant. So just say I was a marriage celebrant. So
No. Let's get the marriage celebrant on, and I will ask
the first question. After three questions, where could you go after three questions?
You wait and see. I'll carry it for 40 minutes.
That is complete nonsense.
Okay, get me a marriage celebrant for the next segment.
I could get one down in a minute. Eh?
Okay, right. We're doing the next with a marriage celebrant.
You better go and check with it.
Okay, sign off, please.
Just crazy about you.